ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's time for some sport with Joe Sullivan. Joe, good morning. Good
morning, Sally.
In rugby league, the NRL wants players and fans alike to reconsider their approach to referees. What's happening?
The image of Tigers prop David Clemmer standing over referee Casey Badger after she sent him to the sin bin over the weekend looms large for the league. Its head of football, Graeme Annesley, has called for more tolerance from fans, players and club officials after the performance, where Badger's performance was very much in the spotlight. She sent two players to the sin bin in the game against the Tigers in Canterbury Bankstown. Bulldogs player Sam Hughes was also fined $3,000 for making contact with Badger, but so bad has the social media abuse been towards Badger that she deactivates her social media accounts each weekend. Now, the NRL says this is not a gendered issue, saying when referees do make mistakes, they don't make mistakes because of their gender. They make mistakes because they're human. But we'll learn today if Badger will be part of the weekend's referee rotation. Just her third game in charge.
It's a really difficult job. I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world, not that they get paid much either. Joe, in cricket, a bit of a hiccup for Pat Cummins in the IPL.
Yeah, a chance to consolidate a top four position has gone begging for the Sunrisers Hyderabad, which is captained by Pat Cummins. He and Aussie teammate Travis Head were the top scorers for the Sunrisers as they posted 173 in their innings against the Mumbai Indians. Countryman Tim David not required in reply. The home side chasing down the total with 16 balls to spare. Now, the reason why this result means so much is because it's actually blown the race open for the IPL playoffs wide open. Just about any team can make it. There's about 14 matches remaining in the tournament, so it will likely go right down to the wire, which, of course, tournament organisers really want. And also in cricket, a compact competition schedule for Australia's women when they look to defend their T20 crown in Bangladesh in October. They'll need to play 6 matches in 17 days if they're to hold on to the silverware they won last year in South Africa.
They'll smash it. Don't worry, Joe. And finally, the Australian Olympic team, we're seeing more names emerging. It's continuing to take shape. Very exciting time.
Indeed it is. Get ready to hear more about the Gangaroos. That's Australia's 3x3 basketball team. They swept the Asian Cup earlier this year. That's the women. And they were featuring several of the WNBL stars. They've qualified for the Paris Games over the weekend. Gangaroo is the indigenous word for kangaroo. So there you go. And meanwhile, in athletics, Australia's men's and women's 4x100 metre relay teams have qualified through the World Relays Championships in the Bahamas. It's the first time since the Sydney Games 24 years ago that Australia will have those teams in athletics. So it's shaping up to be quite a promising period for Australian athletics. There's a few junior stars really coming through. So it's exciting times for Australia's Olympic team.
The women look really determined. I think they broke the Australian record when they went around. Is it Tori Lewis is the new runner?
Yeah, superstar coming through. So a lot of promise. I know, speaking to Warwick Hadfield, he's very excited about the prospect of this team. So just wondering whether we might start to see a few athletic superstars who get household name recognition now, which we haven't seen for decades, since Cathy Freeman, of course.
Just don't drop the baton. That's the key to those relays.
That's always the crucial moment.
And Joe, in the AFL, pretty torrid time for the Bulldogs after the weekend's events.
That's right, Sally. It's been confirmed midfielder Tom Liberatore will miss indefinitely after a second concussion in 3 weeks. The midfielder copped a nasty gash after an errant boot from Hawk Connor Nash. It's also the fourth time he's entered concussion protocols in just over 12 months. The Bulldogs say they won't be rushing Liberatore back anytime soon, and the club says they also won't be rushing any decisions on change in the club's hierarchy following some pretty inconsistent performances so far this season. The Bulldogs sit 11th on the AFL ladder with 3 wins and 5 losses after the shock loss to Hawthorn. And this is a club that's placed expectations on themselves of playing finals this season. It also comes after Essendon ruckman Sam Draper claimed last week in some now deleted comments that Bulldogs players would leave the club at season's end if coach Luke Beveridge remained there next year. The president, Kylie Watson-Wheeler, says there's no panic, it's too early to make rash decisions, and is confident Beveridge will see out his contract, which is set to end at the end of 2025.
And Joe, still in the AFL, significant change of position in Tasmania.
That's right. The state election sort of almost hinged on this decision as to what was going to happen with the proposed Tasmania stadium for the new AFL team that's coming in, the Tasmania Devils. Tasmania's Labor's opposition has announced they will support the new Tasmanian stadium, having previously opposed it. It means that that's basically the main political hurdle out of the way to overcome this stadium, meaning both the state Liberals and Labor are on the same page, along with the federal Labor government.
And Joe, in football, the little team that could, eyeing a rare treble, the Mariners.
Yes, the Central Coast Mariners return home after being the first Australian team to win the AFC Cup. That's the second tier Asia club competition, and that's a hot off the heels of winning the Premier's plate in the A-League. They now face Sydney FC in the first leg of the semi-finals of the Championship on Friday night. Now, it's a far cry from a club that collected its third consecutive wooden spoon in the 2019-2020 season and basically was staring down the prospect of folding. So how has the club turned it around? Well, a lot of the credit goes to its British owner, Richard Peel, who's taken the club's legacy in the region of utilising its community-driven youth development, adding a whole host of sports data and science to create a very bold 10-year vision. Now, it's not quite a reverse welcome to Wrexham, but it's
Sounds like Moneyball.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on, but it's a fascinating story. And I want to point you to Samantha Lewis's great piece on ABC News Online, where she really details exactly what they've done to try and turn this around. While we're on the subject of football, the honeymoon is over for Ange Postecoglou. The British media fall out of favour. Ange Ball is now seen as a little bit calamitous. A 4-2 defeat at Anfield to Liverpool is the fourth consecutive loss that Ange has had. They've conceded 13 goals in those four games. And there was also a bit of a dust-up between teammates. So he's on the defensive on a few things. Now, admittedly, he claims that there's no issue with players having a public disagreement, but Spurs, they're in fifth. They need to qualify if they do qualify for the European Champions League, which is that lucrative competition. They need everything to go right to sneak into fourth spot and to ward off some pretty unsavoury headlines in the British press.
I'm sure there's plenty of Scotsmen and Scotswomen who'll defend him. Thanks very much, Joe.
Thanks, Al.
That's Joe Sullivan there with sport.